All right, welcome to Truth Culture Life. This will be a little bit different style episode. I am burning the candle at both ends. Is that the proper terminology? I don't know. So last night I drove from Peoria, well, yesterday morning, all the way to Gower, Missouri to film Father Matthew, who is the chaplain of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. And I had my son Gabriel with me. It was amazing. We had one of our friends of the film, Stephanie, and her daughter Zoe came out. We had Michael Miglin from Sistine Films in Kansas City. It was amazing. We did an interview with Father Matthew. I gave some opening remarks, and then we also interviewed mom and daughter. And during the process of that, the sisters were doing their afternoon prayers. And we weren't planning on filming the sisters at all. But this beam of sunlight was coming through the chapel as the sisters were in adoration and exiting the chapel. And it's just phenomenal. So I've posted that picture. If you go to facebook.com/ incorruptible movie, you can see that amazing picture. I mean, it looks like the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven. It's amazing. My name is Royce Hood. You're listening to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. And like I said, when I opened, this is going to be a different episode. It is 12:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. I'm supposed to have this episode over to John at the studio by now, and so it's running a little bit late. I am gearing up for a major week in Florida. I've got the second annual Naples Summit. It is a pro-life retreat that I'll be hosting from March 20th to the 22nd. We just announced on Facebook, I think yesterday, the day before, that we have Lisa Barnett confirmed. She's the executive producer of Unthinkable, which is the new Abby Johnson movie that'll be coming out. We have John Henry Weston from LifeSite News coming along with Tom Brekka. I've already mentioned that, I think, a week or two ago on the show. We are going to be doing a session for those two guys called Lawfare, Defeating Lawfare. So many pro-life groups, I can't even name them all right now, but so Naples Summit is going to be amazing. Now, for anybody listening to this show on Catholic Spirit Radio, I am planning on bringing my gear to do recordings and interviews with our different speakers. So hopefully, it'll be hard because I'm traveling, but hopefully next weekend or the weekend after, I will be able to present an episode with some of the highlights from the Naples Summit. There's going to be a lot of great content. I think we're also going to live stream portions of the Naples Summit via X. And that's x.com/@Royce Hood. You can also go to x.com/@Law of Life Summit. And I don't know which channel we'll be using yet, because technically I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do it, but there's something called X Spaces. It's like a live stream. It's audio, and you'll be able to hear it. And if we have videos, we'll post them on there as well. So hopefully you'll be able to check us out and join us virtually if you're not there in person. All right. So much going on this week. The election 2024 is heating up. We've got the official nominees for the Democrat Party as well as for the Republican Party. Really no surprise there. Matchup, rematch. And like I've been saying online, I tend to get more political on X than I do on Facebook. Hopefully it's a fair election. Let's hope. I'm knocking on wood as I say that. If all goes well, it'll be, we'll have election integrity. People will have faith in the system and life will go on. But if the same kind of shenanigans that got pulled in 2020 get pulled in 2024, I don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of scary to think about, but I mean, we are seeing a rise in lawfare. We're seeing a rise in godlessness as it relates to Catholic Spirit Radio and our mission here. Right? A rise of godlessness. Anything goes. People believe in and nothing, so therefore they fall for anything. They worship false ideologies. They essentially, you know, worship disordered conduct. It's become a religion in of itself. And as we approach Easter and the resurrection, you know, it's interesting to note, it's been said numerous times before, you know, pride always comes before the fall. And people worship pride now. They've forgotten God. God is a distant thought, a distant memory. But I have a theory. I was responding to somebody on Twitter this week. I still call it Twitter because I'm old, on X. And this person was basically saying, oh, you know, you believe in fairy tales. You believe in that God. There's no God with a lowercase g. There's no gods, plural, with a lowercase g. There's nothing supernatural. When you die, you won't know the difference. So have fun. Enjoy life. That was the premise of this guy's argument against a post that I had made, actually. Wow, like the blind leading the blind. How much of that do we see in our culture today? And my thought for this person, the picture looks like a normal person. You know, who knows what kind of home they grew up in, but it's interesting. When I'm surrounded by kids constantly, and kids intuitively and instinctively know things that adults sometimes forget. Basic things. And I'm talking about the natural law that's imprinted on our hearts. Kids know that there's a God. Kids know that when they see a mom with that's pregnant, they know it's a baby in the mom's stomach. There are adults that are educated, that have all sorts of initials after their name and abbreviations after the name for various degrees, that are confused whether or not a baby in the womb is actually a baby. They don't know. But I bet you something. I'd bet my piggy bank that when they were a kid, they knew. They knew. They knew God loved them. They knew things that they've forgotten as adults. So anyway, I feel like the world has unraveled in so many ways. And it's interesting to see the divide in social media on real time. And social media can be dangerous, especially, you know, during Lent, a lot of people give up social media, and rightly so. I probably spend too much time on X. I'm sure I do. It's easy to scroll and look and reply and get yourself in trouble. But I don't care. I feel like I want to speak out. And am I preaching to the choir? Will anybody be reached? And this is going to get into the premise of my next segment. Why do I talk about faith so much? I've had people on Facebook, a friend of mine that I went to law school with, who is left the church and really just struggling with false ideologies right now. He's a good person. I know him. But he's so lost. But despite being lost, he's always maintained a respectful dialogue with me, and we disagree on a number of things. Anyway, he asked me very politely, why do you talk about faith? Why do you always post things about your faith? You know, most people are posting pictures of their kittens and their cooking recipes and their grandkids. And I'm like, you know, love it or hate it, I'm political, I'm theological, maybe militantly so at times. I don't know. I try to be respectful. And I told him, I was like, I'm going to have to get back to you. Why do I post about faith? And it's been like a year. I still haven't gotten back to him. And I told him, I texted him, I was like, I'm sorry. I keep going back and forth. I've actually thought long and hard about that question. Why do I talk about my faith so much? Is it because I'm trying to convince people? Is it because I'm trying to save my own soul? Is it because I don't know anything else to talk about? Why? And so I'm going to attempt to answer this question on the other side of the break here in just a minute. You know, why does Royce Hood talk about his faith so much? And, you know, the short answer, I'll get into the more specifics, but the short answer is actually really simple. It's because faith is a central part of my life. My entire life, how I provide for my family, how I raise my children, how I love my and cherish my wife. Faith is the center of our family. How can I not talk about faith? How can I not talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How can I not affirm and speak out for the dignity of human life? You know, that it's, you know, the old saying of going back to World War II, you know, I'm going to get it wrong because I'm not a historian. I'm just an ignorant kid from Florida that's 40 years old now. But anyway, you know, all that stands, you know, evil can do anything if it's not for good men. What's the saying? Where's Father Orzy when I need him? It takes good men, brave women too, to stand up when we see something that's wrong and to say that it's wrong. But are we willing to do that? Most people are willing to pray. Most people are willing to shake their heads and think, oh, that's wrong. That's an injustice. But what are we willing to do about all the craziness that we see in our world? You've got entire schools in California and Washington State where I've heard like a class of 10 30 or 40% of that class now identifies as a different gender. We've talked about that before. They're in clusters. Why? Well, obviously there's a reason why. It's not the water. It's not the Kool-Aid. And they're being indoctrinated with this stuff. You know, I think it was it the Franciscan monks at one point said, if you give us a child at 5, we'll have him for life. You know, kids are, you know, and they're teaching something good, monastic life or, you know, the religious life, service, humility, all the virtues, cardinal virtues, theological virtues. You know, kids want truth. I'll leave it with this before I jump into my first commercial break. Immaculate Ilabagiza, who I've been blessed to call a friend and who came to Elise and my wedding. The Rwanda genocide survivor, New York Times bestselling author, who I actually was supposed to have an interview with her back in December. And she ended up needing to go to Rwanda on short notice and it got postponed. And then I got sick and I'll get her on here eventually. You know, she said something beautiful and it's so simple, but it's so true and profound. No child is born with hate in their heart. Not one. Children only know love. That's all they want. That's what they long for. They want to be loved. They want to be accepted. But so many people today hate. And they use that word so carelessly and thoughtlessly. I oftentimes correct people. I'm like, do you really hate? The devil hates. When God created man and said to the angels, you know, we're going to serve, angels are going to serve man, help man, made in my image and likeness. Lucifer revolted and they essentially said, I hate humans. They should serve us. You know, his pride, his vanity got in the way of his listening to God. The devil hates. Children aren't born with hate. They learn hate from their environment. So what am I getting at? I guess I'm thinking about the state of our world right now. I'm thinking about the election year. I'm thinking about my own family and my responsibilities to raise my children. So on the other side of the break, I'm going to briefly talk a little bit about why do I talk and post about faith so much? Why is that the main topic that I share on things like Facebook and Twitter? X.com, not Twitter. Anyway, I'm going to answer that on the other side of this break. This is a little bit different episode. I'm going at a slower pace. I was driving till midnight last night on the way back from Gower after filming all day. I hardly slept because I was falling asleep, you know, driving in the dark, trying to get my son home. And I'm like, I can't get tired. I'm not going to put him in danger. So I chugged a Red Bull at 10 p.m. and it woke me up. The only problem is that I wasn't able to get to sleep. You know, I couldn't fall asleep till 2 a.m. or something. Oh, and by the way, now I've got to figure out how am I get. I don't even have my plane tickets yet for Naples next week. It looks like I'm probably just going to jump in the car and drive. So a lot going on. Anyway, so I'll be right back on the other side of the break, and I'm going to answer the question about why does Royce Hood talk about faith? You're listening to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. Thank you so much for listening and for joining this show. We'll be right back.
We are the Easter people. That joyful quote from Pope St. John Paul II is truly beautiful. Catholic Spirit Radio has plans to broadcast more quotes, facts, and personal stories about this holy and beloved man. Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN Radio, and I will again be the host of Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon from April 2nd through the 5th. Our focus this year is St. John Paul II, so you won't want to miss a single day of our special program. We'll have plenty of other things to keep you entertained as well, including local and national guests, a gift for every donor, and daily drawings. Pope John Paul II reminds us that each of us are called to evangelize, and when you make a donation during the Carathon, you are helping to pay bills, update equipment, and create resources which share the good news of our faith. The Catholic Spirit Radio Network does good work for you. They are a nonprofit and definitely need your financial and prayerful help to continue broadcasting throughout Central and Northern Illinois. Spend time with us for Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon and show that you care on April 2nd through the 5th.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck. We're the hosts of More to Life.
For us, Catholic radio is something that draws us together into conversations that can be at times difficult, but when directed by charity, become positively impactful.
That's why we're so glad you're participating in your own way by listening right now. Let everyone else know about this jewel you have found. Please invite others into this work that the Holy Spirit is already doing. Invite them to listen.
Catholic Spirit Radio has posted a special list of Mass times for more than 80 local churches that fulfill the one Easter obligation to attend either Holy Saturday evening or Easter morning.
Our list also includes the two optional Thursday's Last Supper Mass and Good Friday services.
Lent is a great time to consult our community calendar of parish and organization events and our year-round webpage with weekly confession times, including Lent reconciliation services.
Go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have 3 new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station, 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of 2 for lightweight general cleaning at our normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
All right, welcome back to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. You're probably wondering, what the heck is this music? This is just stock music. It's StreamYard.com. It's called background music. I kind of like it. I don't know. It's not mine. I usually like to just play my music, but why not? It's kind of fun doing something a little bit different. So I was going to attempt to answer the question, you know, why do I talk about my faith so much? And, you know, I guess I'll just read a statement that I wrote. Again, you're listening to Royce Hood, Truth, Culture, Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. Look, there's so much I want to share. Why? I've been asked, why do I post so much about my faith? And I've thought long and hard about this question. The thing about my faith, I've always had it. But for years, when I was younger, my faith was in many ways misguided by what fit the narrative of my worldly lifestyle. I did not accept the teachings that did not fit my views. Let me repeat that. I did not accept the teachings that did not fit my views or my decisions, or the things I liked. I loved God, but I didn't know Jesus. I longed for heaven, but felt I could do whatever I wanted with little regard to sanctification. But over a period of time, I was blessed to experience a number of metaphysical and frankly miraculous graces. One day, if I find the courage, I will share these in greater detail. I have to find the courage to do that. But for now, let me just summarize them very briefly. The first sort of miraculous experience I can remember, I was about 9 years old. I'll just give you a general idea of what happened. I was at a convention. I may have shared this in some detail before on the show, but I was at a coin convention with my family and I was selling grapes. Okay, this is a weird thing. Why would I be doing that? That's a long story. I was selling bags of grapes and my mom and adopted father at the time told me, you're allowed to hustle and try to make some money. That's great. Have fun. But under no circumstances are you ever to leave the safety of this building, the safety of this room that we're in with all these coin dealers and people. You're never to leave with anybody or leave for any reason at all without letting us know. So, seems fine. Okay. I was a pretty, I guess, responsible kid. I was trying to make money and sell things. Other people were selling really expensive things. I had little bags of grapes for a dollar. Anyway, so I'm doing my thing, hustling these bags of fruit. And a gentleman walks over to me and says, hey, I'd love to get some of that fruit from you, those bags of grapes. That's great. My money is in my van outside, my car outside. Would you, just come with me to parking lot? I'll give you the money. And I didn't even think about it. I just was like, oh, okay, sure. And so I started walking and he was about 2 or 3 feet in front of me. And there were police officers at the door checking registrations as people came in and out. You could register for free, I think, or you were with a coin dealer. And I had I think it was called a page badge or something like that. Anyway, so I saw the officers and the security guards at the door and the guy was a couple feet in front of me. It was interesting. He didn't walk out next to me. Right? That should have been red flag number one. And he kind of approached and I realized as I'm walking, all of a sudden, I realized something was wrong. I literally could not physically walk anymore. It was as if I had walked into a brick wall. My body wanted to move forward, but I could not physically move. I was literally frozen in time, if you will, which sounds insane. And at that moment, I got really scared. Like, why can I not move? I was almost like paralyzed, but I was standing. And I looked up and I see the police officer, I see the guy and he looks at me and he turns around and he reaches for me in a very like this went from this nice face to this like almost like monster face, like just angry, like this anger, like why was I not coming? And at that moment, I realized something was very wrong. And I could not under any circumstances leave the building with this strange guy. And so I immediately was able to regain my ability to move. I immediately was like, I'm not going. And I said that and I turned around and I started to walk away and he actually grabbed for me. And then I think to avoid a scene, he just kind of walked out. It was odd. Must've looked odd. I was so scared that I was going to get in trouble. I didn't say anything right away to my mother or my father. And the next day we were at our booth. They had a booth with coins and different things at it. And that guy came to the booth and I was sitting there, drawing or coloring or something. And I remember he walked by and I got so scared when I saw him. And he looked at my mother and he's like, "Oh, so this is your son." She's like, "Yes." You know, she talked to him and he walked away. And at that, as he walked away, after he walked away, I just burst into tears and I told her what had happened. She immediately, I think her and my dad had a walkie-talkie. She immediately walkie-talkied to my dad and he came over and they, next thing you know it, I'm filling out a police report and it was like a terrifying experience. I've thought about that experience multiple times in my life. And again, I'm answering the question right now. Why do I talk about faith? I am 100% convinced that my guardian angel interceded for me on that day. If it had been up to me, I would have just walked out of that room. Now, guardian angels are with us. We know that through our faith. But they can only do what God permits them to do. So when I started learning more about my guardian angel after that, and I don't know if we had had conversations before or after, but I really started developing a devotion to my guardian angel. And that was the first experience that I can say was miraculous in so many ways, because who knows what would have happened? I can't even think about it. There are some sick people in this world. Maybe the guy would have held me for ransom, or maybe he just done something nasty and murdered me. I don't know. My next experience was in my 20s when I had a mystical and really supernatural encounter on Mount Kresovic, which is located in Bosnia Herzegovina. This experience changed my life. And yet, and I'll again just paraphrase what I saw. We were at the Two Hearts Hotel in Medjugorje looking at Mount Kresovic. And there was a procession of the faithful behind us. And people were praying and singing. And there was a youth festival, so tens of thousands of young people in the streets with a candlelight vigil. And I think I've shared this story in parts before, and I'm not going to share the whole thing now, but just in part, I was with a group of guys, and we looked up on the mountain, and there was Mount Kresovic, this stone mountain. Just the cross was literally levitating and illuminating above the mountain as this procession was going on. And it was such a powerful, mystical, miraculous experience that I dropped to my knees and it was like, wow, what are we watching? What are we seeing? And despite that, despite these two experiences, and there were some more, I still kept one foot firmly planted in worldly pursuits. Since my early 20s, I've had a few more mystical and miraculous experiences throughout the years. The seeds of faith have grown and continue to grow. But conversion, I have discovered, is not a one-time occurrence, at least not for me. It's been a journey. Without going into more detail on some of the graces I've experienced in my life, which have been just profound, I think about this. You know, blessed are those who believe without seeing. And we know that. Christ tells us that. But I have seen, so what does that mean for me? I don't just believe in God on a whim. I've encountered God's grace personally in my life. I've seen angels. I've felt miraculous interventions in my life that frankly saved my life and more. I do not just believe, I know. And yet, despite my knowledge of the metaphysical, somehow I'm still a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner, but I am. I guess I post about my faith because of what I know. I post about faith hoping to reach one lost soul who perhaps, like a younger me, has the seeds of faith that just need to be watered. Who knows? Perhaps someone out there will find it in their heart to pray for me and my family. Perhaps some word that I share in writing and song and spoken word on the radio or on social media or in passing will spark the fire of faith. See, because of my faith, sometimes it feels like I'm the wealthiest man on earth, truly. My pockets might be empty, but my heart is so full. If you were the wealthiest person on earth, wouldn't you want to share your wealth? It would be selfish not to. And so I share, hoping to spread the wealth of faith, which has carried me through the air, over and under the sea, which is another story, and along a windy, windy road filled with ups and downs. In my faith, I have come to rely extensively on divine providence. That is, following but not knowing where, providing but not always knowing how. It doesn't always work out like I thought, but God always provides. Peace of Christ be with you. Thank you for listening to my ramble about why I share my faith. So anyway, I'm going to leave you with that. The remainder of this episode, because I need to prepare for the summit next week, is I'm going to jump into my favorite episode, which is clips from the Carlos Martins interview that I did 6 months ago or so. And he's the host of The Exorcist Files. The reason why I'm going to play that clip's been played numerous times on this radio program. It's my favorite episode, I think, is because I've invited Father Martins to Peoria in 2025, in the spring of 2025, for an event I plan on announcing soon. And my listeners here on this program get to hear it first. It's going to be called Holy Spirit Fest. It's going to be a retreat for families. There's going to be a track for men, for women, for families, and for children. There's also going to be a spiritual warfare track as well, which I think is necessary in the time that we live. We need to be aware of the fight that's going on around us. Before I leave you, I'll just leave you with this one more point. You know, the reason why I think I want to focus on spiritual warfare and the mystical side of the church is I see, it's so easy to see, like on social media, there are influencers that have tens of thousands of followers that these people demonstrate such poor judgment. Poor judgment. There are people within the church that demonstrate poor judgment. Heretical postings and interpretations of scripture, blasphemous interpretations of our faith, and completely upside down views of conduct that is acceptable, whether it's marriage, life, family, even politics. Like, religion has no place in politics. That's not actually true. This country was founded as one nation under God. We were founded as one nation under God. Faith is absolutely part of politics. If you believe, if you believe one thing in your faith life, but then you vote the opposite way politically, you're betraying your faith. That's the bottom line. I think the spiritual warfare is the root of all of this. There are so many. It's interesting to see and know them by their fruits. There's a culture of light and life, where light and life are the foundation. And then there's a culture of death and darkness, where death and darkness are the foundation. And that side lies, they cheat, they spew vile rhetoric against people they disagree with. It's easy to see. It's interesting to get into debates with folks. And there are some people that will have respectful dialogue and you can disagree respectfully on political topics. And there's some that I've had good discourse, and I respect a good debate that's respectful and articulate and intellectual. But there are people that you call them out respectfully on their heretical views. And you can do so just by pointing out scripture. I was actually blocked by I don't want to disrespect him too much, but Father James Martin blocked me this week on X for pointing out, I literally just quoted Genesis 19 verses 4-8 because of a post that he made that was completely contrary to everything the church teaches. He's leading his people astray. And I just simply quoted USCCB's online Bible, and for this, he blocked me. And anyway, so I'll leave you with this. Thank you so much for listening to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio. The remainder of this episode will be clips from the Exorcist Files host, Father Carlos Martins, not to be confused with Father James Martin, two different Martins. Thank you for listening.
We are the Easter people. That joyful quote from Pope St. John Paul II is truly beautiful. Catholic Spirit Radio has plans to broadcast more quotes, facts, and personal stories about this holy and beloved man. Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN Radio, and I will again be the host of Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon from April 2nd through the 5th. Our focus this year is St. John Paul II, so you won't want to miss a single day of our special program. We'll have plenty of other things to keep you entertained as well, including local and national guests, a gift for every donor, and daily drawings. Pope John Paul II reminds us that each of us are called to evangelize, and when you make a donation during the Carathon, you are helping to pay bills, update equipment, and create resources which share the good news of our faith. The Catholic Spirit Radio Network does good work for you. They are a nonprofit and definitely need your financial and prayerful help to continue broadcasting throughout central and northern Illinois. Spend time with us for Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon and show that you care on April 2nd through the 5th.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck. We're the hosts of More to Life.
For us, Catholic radio is something that draws us together into conversations that can be at times difficult, but when directed by charity, become positively impactful.
That's why we're so glad you're participating in your own way by listening right now. Let everyone else know about this jewel you have found. Please invite others into this work that the Holy Spirit is already doing. Invite them to listen.
Catholic Spirit Radio has posted a special list of Mass times for more than 80 local churches that fulfill the one Easter obligation to attend either Holy Saturday evening or Easter morning.
Our list also includes the two optional Thursday's Last Supper Mass and Good Friday services.
Lent is a great time to consult our community calendar of parish and organization events and our year-round webpage with weekly confession times, including Lent reconciliation services.
Go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have three new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station, 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of two for lightweight general cleaning at our normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
So the deal that I had made with God as I started that retreat, when I made the decision, okay, I'm gonna be here, and I'm gonna follow through with my commitment to fulfill this retreat and do everything that they are doing, you know, is what I said to him is, you know, God, I don't know if you're here or not. I don't believe you are, but if you are, please reveal yourself to me, and if you do, I will give you my life. If you can give me the faith that I see in them, I will give you my love. You know, demons live in wounds. They are attracted to wounds. And in order for them to be able to cling to us, they need to be let in. In other words, a door, an action has to be done, that action is the doorway by which they enter into our lives. So demons do not need a doorway to perform what the church calls the ordinary demonic activity, which is temptation. And even our Lord was subject to temptation. No human being is not subject to temptation. And so that That's their ordinary activity. And to be honest, that is the most deadly, because it's only through sin, mortal sin, what Catholics call mortal sin, a sin so grave that it evicts the Holy Spirit from inside us. It evicts sacramental grace from being present within us. So any of the violation of the Ten Commandments, for example, in a serious manner. So one of the commandments is thou shalt not lie. If you tell what people call a little white lie, your wife asks you, does this dress make me look fat? And inside your mind, you're thinking, oh, heavens, yes. But you say, no, it's a white lie. It's that doesn't destroy grace. All lying is sinful. It damages our relationship with God, but only mortal sin destroys that sacramental life-giving connection that we have with God. And so when that occurs, we revert to being the property and possession of the devil. We belong to him. If you die in the state of mortal sin, you will never see the inside of heaven. That's what mortal sin is. It makes your soul mortal, subject to death. Right? Only sacramental grace, which is the very life of God. It's another way of saying God's life that he has imparted to us through the sacraments, through our baptism, and that's why I use the word we revert to the devil, because when we were conceived inside the womb of our mother, all of us, because of original sin, the devil is to whom we belonged, not God. And absolutely not our parents. And this is why we baptize, to get rid of that inheritance of death. And that's what original sin is. It's an original separation from God that is permanent unless there is that intervention by God. And we accept that intervention. That intervention is called baptism. Now, some people can say, you know, some people will retort, they're scandalized by this. Like, well, I don't believe that thing is possible. Yeah, I mean, whether or not you believe it is irrelevant to the facts. The fact is, you know, that 7 or 8 year old, somebody could knock on his front door and he opens the door without looking at it. And you know what? Guess what? On the other side of that door could be a guy with a knife. And now that's Jeremy's last day on this earth. Now, he didn't intend to be killed. He didn't intend to open the door to somebody, but he did. And so he's subject to the consequences of that. In the spiritual realm, it's no different. That the spiritual realm has both grace and has evil in it. And both of those elements are genuine, and both of those elements are trying to seek you out. And if you hit the wrong one of the two, then that element has a relationship with you, and there are consequences to that relationship. So the job of the exorcist isn't to cast out the devil. It's not to come in and overpower the devil with grace and with the prayers of the church, with a ritual, a rite that the church gives him. The job of the exorcist is to find out why is the devil there and to aid the victim in ending that relationship. Mm. Right? That's the job of the exorcist. So it's not, it is a combat. But it's not a combat the way most people think. An exorcist isn't coming in and you know, using some prayers that in effect are magic, and they magically get rid of the devil. There could be nothing further from the truth. The relationship that is keeping the devil there, that has to be ended, and a different relationship. One that is godly, one that connects the victim to God, that has to be established such that there's no neutrality, right? There's no such thing as being demon-free and being unconnected to God. That kind of neutral state doesn't exist. You've got to replace one relationship with another. And if you do that, then the devil has to leave, because he loses his rights. And as a lawyer, Rice, you know that in a contract, rights mean that one of the two parties really has an authority to assert a condition. That 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 party is entitled to that condition, and the other party or parties have a duty to observe that condition. And so, you know, an exorcist is nothing more, you could say, than God's lawyer.
Yeah.
That he's coming in to establish, to alter conditions that are innately unjust, but he must have the victim's cooperation. If he doesn't, then his work is futile. Now, it is the case in possession that a lot of times the victims are not able to cooperate, that the victims, you know, in the state of possession, they're not even aware of what's happening around them. Their consciousness is rendered unconscious, so that they are not cognitively aware of what is happening around them, what their body is being used for in the state of possession. Nevertheless, so I come in, any exorcist comes in and begins praying, begins weakening that hold of the devil. But at a certain point, we need to connect with the victim and get the victim to renounce that relationship with the devil and to commit to one with God. If the victim refuses to do that, there is nothing we can do.
What? So, okay. And I'm thinking about that, you know, the fact that there are probably people right now who are, I mean, they just have no control, right? They've got such a deep relationship with the occult or with demonic activity that they've got practically no or zero relationship with God.
Right.
Some of the criticism I've seen over the years is, well, Royce, not everybody has the same beliefs as you. Not everybody thinks the same way. I start thinking to myself, well, it doesn't really matter. People are entitled. God gave us all free will. People are entitled to think whatever they want. But truth is, it's divine. I mean, how do you address that with non-believers? I don't know. It's one of these abstract questions where I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Like, how do we present these arguments, or do we at all?
Well, look, I think the way I chose to present this topic in the podcast, in the Exorcist Files podcast, is to present a case, a situation from the start. So there's a reenactment with professional actors of a real situation where the devil became involved in people's lives. And I do it in this manner because I am taking advantage of one thing, that the way God created us, we understand innately, whether we are Christian or whether we are not, every person, every culture, every human being has a primordial fear of the devil. And that primordial fear surpasses the fear of any other concept, of any other figure, if you will. That, you know, when Hollywood wants to terrify, not just scare, but terrify, it produces a movie about the devil. It produces a possession movie. So, you know, that is way more scary, way more effective at frightening people than, say, a movie about an alien or aliens or vampires, werewolves, you know, a human enemy, an invading army, that kind of thing. When Hollywood wants to terrify, it produces a movie about the devil. And during that movie in the theater, you never find anybody laughing. You find people who are riveted by the concept because it's touching something inside them. Even I remember having recently a conversation with an agnostic, so somebody who doesn't believe in God but thinks, you know, there might be a God, there may not be a God. And so he has listened to every episode multiple times. And I asked him, you know, why do you do so? And he said, well, I find it realistic. And I said, wait a second, explain that to me. What do you mean by realistic? And what he described is, look, I am confronted internally that if this is true, and he said, frankly, the way you present it, I find it very believable that I am, that this priest in these interactions with the devil is dealing with something that is ancient and predates all of us. That something was here from the beginning of the creation of the physical universe, and that is very aware of everyone and everything happening within it. And that concept is a terrifying concept. And so it's speaking to him in terms of that element that we talk about in terms of the spiritual realm being an eternal realm, being, you know, the earth is new, the physical universe is new relative to the age of that, of the spiritual, of the angels, including the fallen angels, and of course, God. I received this phone call asking if I could meet with this man, and his, because his wife has, her behavior has dramatically changed. Her voice has deepened incredibly. She, this meek, mild, soft-spoken woman has become just this raging beast and that all but physically attacked him, but did throw, threw a pot of food in the kitchen, and just her voice, a bellowing voice emerged from this petite woman. So when the call came in that day, I happened to be helping a friend clean out his garage. So I was in t-shirt and shorts. And so that individual, this gentleman whose wife needed help, who he wanted to seek out help for his wife, lived only about 5 miles away. So we agreed to meet at a coffee shop once I was done what I was doing, helping this my friend out. So we had a coffee and he told me the kinds of things that were happening. And so I just said, look, let's go to your house and let's visit your wife. So I went wearing a t-shirt and shorts. And so his wife had no idea that I was coming, that her husband was bringing home anyone. And certainly had no idea that I was a priest, and there was nothing about my appearance that would bespeak that. And we walked towards the house. We walked up the stairs. He opened the door. We walked in, and she immediately ran to the couch and in a kind of a seated fetal position, screamed at, she took that position and screamed at him, "Why did you bring this bastard priest here?" And I asked her, "Who are you?" And with an expletive, the demon answered, "You know who the beep I am." So there was, you know, one of the conditions for discerning a possession state, that someone is possessed, is the knowledge of hidden realities. So there's an example of that. Mm. So the demon in her knew I was a priest, and there was no way that Cheryl could have known. Cheryl didn't know anything about me. Had never met me. At the time, I certainly didn't have the public profile that I have today. And yet the demon knew. You know, the two other signs are knowledge of languages that the victim has never been taught, and superhuman strength. Mm. So strength that far exceeds the capacity of the individual's natural state. So the existence of those signs affirm and establish the presence of the demonic.
Zeus, Ra, what about the Nordic gods, right? We have entire movies dedicated to Thor and so forth.
Right. And in Scandinavian countries, there's a reversion now back to the old mythology, a religious reversion. So people are once again believing in these ancient Norse mythological spirits, right? And so this is a reversion to paganism. And you know what's interesting is one of the ways in which Christianity received a lot of converts and how Christianity presented itself as truthful and as powerful, as real, is the success that Christian exorcists had over the demons. I mean, the church fathers write about this, that the pagans saw that the Christian exorcists had a power over possessing spirits. And well, if that's the most powerful religion, then if I'm not a Christian, then I'm in the wrong religion. And so that witness in and of itself caused a great amount of conversions.
How important is adoration for, or even just prayer? I mean, a lot of people are asking the question, how do we protect our families? How do we protect ourselves? What can people do to armor up?
You become holy. So that means two things. Get rid of sin out of your life. It is impossible to become holy when there's sin. And secondly, develop a robust prayer life. Develop a friendship with God that is present within prayer.
Seeing the Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio, that was a highlight from the Carlos Martins interview. Father Carlos Martins is a host of The Exorcist Files, just a hit podcast, not for the faint at heart, but I would definitely recommend checking that out. You can watch the entire interview at youtube.com/@Royce Hood. Thank you so much for listening to Truth Culture Life at Catholic Spirit Radio, and we'll see you again next week. Also, be sure to follow me at x.com/@Royce Hood, and you can check this program out on Facebook at Truth Culture Life Pod. There's a lot of places to look for us, I guess. So at the end of the day, just go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com. You can hear this program on there and all sorts of other great programs as well. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Train my hands for war, my fingers for bad.